Welcome to Kill Team Casuals, a podcast all about Kill Team, filmed in three different time zones by three different gents. Enjoy.
Lost Reese already.
No, you haven't, Russ. We're live.
He's back.
It's Russ got confused there. We did classic, that's television there, where you go, we're on live in three, two, but you don't say one just in case the microphones have come up early and you get caught out. Behind the scenes magic there for you. It's the Kill Team Casuals, joined as always by the very debonair Ben from Battle Brothers Tabletop.
Really switching it up, Reese. Really overcompensating. Passing it over, wasting no time to our buddy Russ from GFN Gaming. What up?
Heyo. Hey, I'm going to pass this welcome along quickly because we've got someone else within the loop to welcome. So I'm going to say hello to Reese from Threes to Wound.
Oh, stop.
How's it going, buddy?
It's me. It's good. And look at that. We started the show with hurtful talk amongst the three of us. That's a record. And it's because we're on our best behavior today, because we've got a special guest. Now, Ben, who have you brought in from the cold? Who have you discovered?
From the cold, yeah. I think you mean from the perfect weather, all the way from the opposite coast, about as far away from me as in America as you could possibly get. We've got Jeshua the Kid Kelly, all the way from California. What up, man?
Hey.
What a stud! Thanks for coming.
Jeshua the Kid Kelly. Yeah. That is a great nickname.
Yeah, that's a great name.
I've been trying to get this nickname to stick. Right, giving people nicknames. A very fun thing for me. So officially, what's the word on the street, Jesh? Is Jeshua the Kid Kelly an acceptable nickname?
Yeah, I personally do like the nickname.
Okay, sweet.
I sound like a gunslinger.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love it.
If I lose a kill team, I will shoot you at high noon. That's very, very
well, that's Florida rules.
That's Florida rules.
That's how we do it in Florida. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Jeshua, you're here today because you very recently went to go a tournament. You flew cross country to go hang out with the mayor of Florida himself, Ben, at the Magnolia Open, I believe was the technical term for this tournament.
Correct.
And things went pretty well. How did you go?
So it was a four-round tournament, which you all may know, and I ended up winning it, which... Hey. Caught me by surprise a little bit. I didn't really expect to win it.
That's right. And who did you run into this tournament as well? What was the team? Were you chasing some meta, or did you bend it your way and just play a team you just have a bit of love for?
Well, I was like half chasing meta. I took a Gellert box.
Oh.
Okay. So what was the reason behind Gellert box? Was it goats? Was it like which teams were you considering when you picked Gellert box?
The main teams I was considering were teams like Legionary, even though they're not all that good. I've had a lot of games with them, so I was comfortable with them.
That was the best shot ever. That just broke Ben's heart. He said, they're that good.
I just lost all concept of time and space here for a minute.
Yeah, so the main reason I ended up choosing Gellerpox was because of the Octarius terrain. I knew that melee teams with a lot of bodies had an advantage on that terrain, and I felt comfortable in the dark as well. So it just felt like a good mix.
Interesting. The Octarius consideration there is pretty good there. That's something I wouldn't have thought about. Is it like the doors, just being able to charge through the doors and stuff like that? Is that part of it?
Sorry, you cut out.
Is part of that like the Octarius doors where you can just load up behind and explode out? Yeah.
Yeah, one of the biggest reasons that I chose Gellerpox specifically, like the melee team, was one, because I've gotten a lot of games with them. Two, because they have the barge tactical ploy. So I can block the door and then stop them from attacking me, but then I can barge through and get them.
That's a nice one, actually. I like that.
Now, another a big part of our show here is obviously we're live on Twitch, so we get a lot of input from our wonderful friends of the show, family of the show, I should say, really. Now we've got Jimbo Jack 53 in the chat. Now he said he's got it on good authority that Jeshua the Kid Kelly cheated in the Magnolia Open when he made his father cry in public, and he's pretty sure that's against the rules. What is he talking about?
All rules. It's in the cool rules.
Okay, so what he's talking about is the final game of the tournament was me versus my dad.
Oh, wow.
And I max scored against him. Yeah, I max scored against him. So that's what he's talking about there.
Is Jimbo Jack 53 in fact, your father?
He may very well be my father.
I assume so, yeah.
I love his
DNA telling you in the chat.
Yeah.
You can't escape this guy. He's everywhere.
Just got to follow this down the down the rabbit hole. We're uncovering so much. What an achievement, though. That would be, I said, if my dad, definitely I would be out on the streets. I said, which is weird now because I live in my own house, but he would still somehow manage to kick me out of my
house.
He'd find a way.
He'd turn up the next day, get out.
He almost didn't fly me back to California.
Well, you've won, but this is your new home, Jeshua. So enjoy. Gone. Amazing.
How did you go with the Galapox? Was there any matchups throughout the tournament or just in general that you find really difficult when you run the Galapox?
Yeah, going into the tournament, I was worried running into any of the top meta teams like Vetguard, Commandos, or Felgor at the time. Mm-hmm. And I ended up playing against two of those. Round one, I played against a Vetguard player. I believe his name was Norley. And that was on Indodark. So I had a slight edge on that one. And I ended up barely winning that in a close game. I believe it was 18-20. So that one came super close.
Nice.
Yeah, Vetguard are deceptively good on Into the Dark.
Mm. Yeah,
like with their mind, so all the tools they have, like you think that they would really be maxing out on open and like they would suffer a ton on Into the Dark. They're really like they're still really, really good on Into the Dark, at least post before the
nerf.
Pardon me. Yeah. Before the nerf, like very good.
Do we think that's going to what do you guys think? This is just an open floor question. Do we think that that's got those changes, obviously, to the demolition mine and the spotter? Is that going to have a big impact on their ability in into the dark?
Well, if I'm talking from experience from my actual game, I'd say it would not have that much of experience. Mm. For one, my opponent didn't even take the spotter in that game. For two, I didn't really give him demo mine options. He ended up placing it once to try and prevent me from going on an objective, but I mostly just avoided it anyway. So having neither of those great assets, you still have the demo, and the way he used it, it still would have been effective. But not having the spotter wouldn't really have changed that game.
Have you got, with the Galapox too, have you got a favorite combo or MVP model that you swing or a lot of the team about? Is there a trick that if there's any budding Galapox players out there that are probably listening, waiting for a bit of a tip, anything you could pass on? Oops, are we...
Oh, no.
The Flamer's amazing.
Oh, the Flamer.
There we go. We dropped out for a minute. We're like, oh, no.
Terrible question, Reese. I was showing myself out.
Yeah, my bad. My internet's not the best.
Oh, good, mate. Go for it. So the Flamer is where we're at.
Yeah, so good, I almost always turn one and looking for the best spot to have that Flamer hidden.
Mm.
And then turn two, he's just like such a big threat. And half the time, I don't even actually get the chance to use it because he's just too scary for my opponent, which lets me... Like, let's say the Lumbergast is like one of my favorite models on that.
I love the Lumbergast.
Yeah. Yes. And he'll charge with his spike charge into like three models and kill two of them. So.
Yeah, man. He's one of those models where I don't like the actual model because the weird fly on his arm and the glasses, I just don't like. But the rules, he's my, like the Screamer Killer is the best. Got to be one of the best models, that massive 80s hairdo and the big knife. But
the
Lumbergast. Yeah, but the Lumbergast rules are so fun. I just really like his rules. My favorite, the Hulks. Yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that helps the Flamer, at least in my inexperienced experience, is that when you go up against the Galapox, is that you go, oh, I don't need to worry about shooting. You think melee team. And so you prepare. Yeah. And it is that literally you just forget about it because you go, oh, yeah, I can be all in engage and I can go crazy. And then all of a sudden they march him out and you go, I've made a huge mistake.
Yeah, something that a lot of players don't take into account is that all of the mutants have a frag grenade. And I generally end up using all three of them in a game. They're really good utilities to have, especially against like Vetguard.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it does get forgotten.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people tend to think of them as just like objective grabbers or even like the trap is like to use them too much as melee pieces sometimes.
Mm.
But yeah, like into those like seven wound teams made a frag. Man, if you can wound a seven wound model, like, gosh, they're almost useless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good shooting.
Yeah, I believe in my second game against Starstriders, I was able to kill about 6 models with those frag grenades.
Oh, that's rough.
Gosh. Brutal. Was that a guy named Matt playing Starstriders?
Yes, I believe it was, yeah.
Matt, yeah, Matt's a good dude. 6 and a, yeah. Gosh, brutal.
You're saying you haven't seen Matt since, actually, Ben, that he's just...
Yeah, Matt actually he sold his Starstriders that day and said, I'm getting out of kill team. Yeah. No, Matt, he won best painted at Magnolia Open.
He's yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then oddly enough, shout out to you mentioned Norley was your first game. Norley yeah. is a friend of the show. Big always in the chat. Yeah. So also a good dude.
Very cool. So obviously we've had a bit of a tournament recap, but obviously you've got a great knowledge of the game. You've got a good mind for it. There's 2 new teams arriving next week. Have you got a favorite out of the 2 upcoming teams in the Mandrakes or Ben's much excited Night Lords?
I think I'm going to have to go with the more popular option, the Night Lords. I definitely like them a lot better, and I think they're going to do better.
Ooh, hot take. Because the Mandrake Mandrake people are going crazy right now.
They are.
All the Drake chats are just going crazy. But I'm also Team Night Lord. I am Team Edgelord for sure.
The reason I say that I think Night Lords are going to do better is because the Mandrakes are good with in shadow, but they're very board dependent, especially on open, because players could just play smart and be away from walls. Mm. So now, like 70% of Mandrake's abilities to stay and start and end within shadow don't work because you're staying away from them. So I think they're not great into melee hordes or elites. That's my hot take.
Yeah, I think the male or the pardon me, the elite matchup is going to be pretty tough.
Yeah,
because like if Mandrakes can get that those early kills with the right operative going and passing out the extra APL, man, it's very strong. But like into elites, you might bounce off, especially into Night Lords, where like man, they've got the trophy, they've got the skin that's shutting off rerolls. Yeah. Like I think there's a you know, unless they roll real well, or if the Night Lords player is doing dumb stuff, I think they're going to bounce off, and that's going to be a bar. Yeah.
Even the ability to make like dash out of shadow, they can make them literally move out into the open with one of their operatives.
Yeah.
I don't like where you're at. Yeah. Get out of here.
And and I like the issue with elf teams, because like 8 wounds, 9 operative teams are so weird.
APL.
Like, yeah, with 2 APL, they're just so weird, because like all it takes from like the elite perspective, all it takes is 1 double kill in the right spot. And they just kind of fall apart. Mm. Now you're down to 7 models with 8 wounds. And now this flank has been crushed. Yeah, it's quick maths. Hey, not to brag, guys. to brag. That's 16 wounds you've removed off the board. Not to brag. Yeah. If I don't mind if I do. So it just starts to sort of crumble and fall apart.
Yeah.
But I definitely think there's teeth there. Like I think Mandrakes look very good, but I'm Team Night Lord.
Also, I think that shooting teams, specifically probably like Pathfinders or so, on the wrong open board for Mandrakes dominate because they have that 4 invuln, but only within shadow.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're saving on 5s. Yeah. And then Pathfinders are 2 hitting them with their guns, all of them. Yeah. So.
I was gonna say, I think people might that 4 invuln, you'll be like, oh, I'm pretty good, but it is only a 50-50 really. And they're only, like you say, 8 wounds. So I mean, even bolters, lucky bolter fire is gonna take one out, and you'd be like, And then they shoot twice, and if you're in a bad position, you're saving on 5, and it's sort of like, ooh. So I think it'll be like a high skill level. If someone gets really good with Mandrakes, they'll be able to play. I guess it's the same for all teams, really, but it might take a while. I think quite a lot of people will be playing and thinking, out of the box, they're going to be awesome, and then they'll be like, oh, wow, so if I don't get my positioning spot on, I just die. I just crumble to shooting, and it's like, probably.
You probably said it right there, too.
Models look cool.
A little bit of that, the way they play, too. I guess if a tournament play, too, like if both teams are roughly comparable in power or a little bit one way or the other, but one is significantly less mental load, as in, you know, if you can take 6 models and their rules are a bit easier to run versus Mandrakes, you've got 9 models, you're needing to constantly think about
back to the shadow.
and all things rely on, as Joshua said, being starting or finishing there, and all of a sudden, you're very much having to spend a lot more of that mental energy in a day to not make mistakes, which is what someone like me would be making a lot of with a team like that. That's for sure. By my third or fourth.
Stick with the compendium teams, Reese. Stick with the compendium. You'd be fine.
Original Marines compendium. Delicious.
Yeah. All gene stealers.
So we've also seen a little bit in the future as well. Looking in the crystal ball, we've got the Brood Brothers coming up and the Jaegers.
Man,
the squats. Yeah. What do you think of them? Obviously, we haven't really seen the rules as of yet, but are you excited about those teams?
I haven't really seen anything for those teams now.
That makes it easy. We're not excited.
We've just stuff them. Heard rumors about them. Yeah, it's just sort of like the Jaegers seem to be
a bit of a weird question.
Scouting.
Reese. Yeah, a bit of a weird question. A little bit of a faux pas, I would say.
Wow. Oh, okay. Ben, take it away.
Yeah. Well, I the Brood Brothers to me actually look really interesting. Like with being able to take the Patriarch. Man, I think I'm so psyched on that. But I can't see past. I can't get past Night Lords right now. I'm all about Night Lords.
Too far in the future.
Yeah. Like My one deal with them is they don't have an anti-injury, like ignore injury ploy, which I think is
impeccable.
It's hard for Marine teams to not have ignore injury. And so that's a bit of a bummer. But like with Skin and with the Visionary, who's got the just a scratch with a Grizzly Trophy going on.
Is
like,
he called a Visionary?
It's called a Visionary. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Reese, do you remember a TV show called The Visionaries?
Oh, God. Look, let's let the old guys talk for a minute, Jesh. Let's let the old boys talk.
I'm throwing this in the chat. Visionaries.
But now you've
if you can
it up.
Finish this phrase, Knights of the Magical blank. If you get that, victory points. But anyway, carry on. Yeah. I didn't know he's called The Visionary. It feels like a weird name for a Night Lord.
Well, he's meant to be a bit like Telos. You know, he's meant to be a bit like...
Not at all, actually.
Yeah, but you feel like it would be like prescience. Something like that. Yes, Ali knows. You must be our age, Ali, because you got that straight away with the hologram chest. Damn right, son.
Big thanks quickly in the chat. JVB subscribed for 5 months. So just re-up the subscription.
Oh, nice.
So thank you very
what
much, good sir, for that. We really appreciate it. But yes, I think the catch is with you, go back to your non-injured ploy. It definitely hurts, but I guess something had to give for probably, you know, especially when you compare them to legionaries.
Yeah.
Have we seen everything for them as well? Have we seen like all equipment? So we know they definitely have nothing to stop them being injured at all.
Or stunned. They can't prevent being stunned either.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Star Strider concussion grenades.
Yes.
Yeah,
baby.
So with new teams on the horizon and meta sort of developing a little bit, I know you've had your time with Gellerpox. Is there another team that you're looking into, maybe like something that's exciting you right now?
I was going to ask that, yeah.
Yeah, so personally, I think Gellerpox is already kind of starting to fall out of the meta because of Higher Tech and Warp Coven being really good right now. Both those teams are fast and have really good alpha strikes.
Mm.
So I think they're kind of falling out. I wouldn't say they're a bad team. I'd still say they're like A tier or so. But with those two teams being top, it might be hard. So I'm actually going to probably switch to Nemesis Claw once it comes out. I think they're really good.
Nice.
Going to be one of the Nemesis Claw pioneers.
Yeah.
I like that.
Matches the best.
Have you started making conversions?
Midnight Clad.
Or are you ready? Oh, there you go. Yeah, you've already got the clothes on. You just need a lightning strikes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I think they're gonna be very good, man. I best elite team for sure. Like maybe I guess you haven't
seen
the rules. Yeah, so like
straight away.
So you have like a lot of their damage maxes out at like 5 damage on the crit, like on average, but you're doing D3 mortals on the charge. Mm. So like on average, that's gonna actually be like 4-7. Sometimes
that's a strat play, right? They all do D3 on the charge. Yeah, okay.
Cool. Yeah, the names are so good too. It's like if it's the first action you perform in your activation, you do D3 mortals on the charge, which is awesome. Like sometimes you're just going to charge into somebody low health, insta kill, pay a CP, 3-inch charge into somebody else, get that kill. Like there's so many little tweaks. Another one being, I think I talked about this last week, so I'm going to sound like a broken record, but the fight twice and shoot twice ploy is consolidated into the same ploy, which is huge. Instead of having to pay one for the other, you get them both. It's excellent.
Do you think they're still going to keep legionaries up to snuff, or do you think they might get forgotten now that? Because if you think about it, like the Balefire Acolyte needs needs that hole until the next time he's activated, added to his thingy. Because everyone else has that now, where you can cast that. You could do the lethal five, no cover, whatever its thing, and then it only lasts at the end of the turn, so you can't set someone up for turn two to write their stuff. And it feels like, will they bother to keep them up to date, or they're just going to be like, well, Nemesis Claw is where we're putting all our elite chaos eggs in this little new Night Lord basket?
Well, I hope they fix elites, like, mostly elites as a whole. Like, I think all elites at least need, like, a 5-up invul, like, at the very least, because of all the teams that are fixing out there. But, yeah, I think that Legionary definitely needs some buffs. Intercession probably needs some buffs. I think Phobos is doing all right now, actually, because they have, like, smoke grenades and they're good at staying safe.
Yeah.
But, I think they need to be changed a little bit.
Yeah. And it's interesting, like, some of the design space you see on Nemesis Claw feels like it's kind of fixing some of the elite issues, like being able to delay an activation or skip.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah,
I think the skip an activation is pretty niche until it's not, until it's crucial.
Yeah, right.
Like, I think people might just do that a lot to buy time and waste one of their tokens. Mm. But when it's important, oh man, like to have that token in your pocket to be able to skip will be huge into other elites. Like, man, you get the last activation on another elite team.
Yeah,
like just be able to cruise and bruise. So yeah.
What are the other uses for the prescience? I've only seen the bat rep, so I know, but I only got halfway through, so I know it was so loose. Sorry, guys.
I love it.
But I know that they can use it to skip an activation, but I assume that there's other uses for prescience.
There's two others. One is the leader himself can do an action to gain a command point. The other is the leader can use one of the prescience tokens to discard an attack dice for shooting your melee.
So, nice.
So, like, if someone shoots at you and gets four hits, you can make it three hits.
Very powerful.
Yeah. That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like,
and you get to roll each turn, don't you? D3, is it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, D3 each turn.
And they roll over. So, if you don't spend them, they roll over.
Oh, I was going to ask that. Do they roll over? That's
so you end up with, like, a pool.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, rules as written, I believe you could, if you had like six tokens, you could delay six activations as it is written currently. Yeah. I believe you could do that. It's very cheesy.
They might change it.
And I feel like they should change it. But, like, as it is written, you could do that. And if you think about, like, the visionary, if you give him the trophy and he's got this just a scratch ability, like, man, if you're behind heavy cover, somebody wants to come up and shoot you, like, come and shoot me. Like, best case scenario, you'll have three dice. I'll get rid of one. And so, like, maybe I'll save the last one. So, like, you're going to be tankier than they look on paper, I think.
100%.
I like that. It's kind of like a elite dice system from Kazakin almost kind of being applied to elite, like an elite team is quite nice.
The one thing, though, is it's really key to keep your leader safe with this because these abilities aren't usable if he dies.
So racing him forward is pretty much
a less aggressive leader than the legionary.
Seems like power fist.
Actually, there's a restriction because if you want the plasma pistol, you have to take the chainsword. But it's five attacks on twos, 4-5 rending. So, like, I wish it was I wish it was lethal five, but it's not, which is fine. Like, he's not the aspiring champ forward piece. Like, maybe. Like, goes out turn three to Blaze of Gory. That feels okay. You know what I mean?
A couple of plasma shots instead, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got that built-in fight twice, shoot twice, a couple of plasma shots.
It's such a good mechanic, them having that ability to farm the CP, as you were saying before, Ben, too. Like, they've got such good strategic and tactical ploys, too. You know you're going to be spending those points. And it's like, you know, nothing worse than a team having all these amazing things, but you just feel like you're starved for CP. Yeah. So I think it's so good that they've got an ability to keep them. You know, you still have to manage it to a certain extent. You can't bank on getting an extra one every turn, but there'll be some key moments that other teams will be like,
"Oh,
CP are you on again? Have you got, can you sure you can afford that?" And you'll be like, "No issue. No worries."
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you will, but I think you'll be burning through CP just like Phobos. Because, Vox Scream is one plus CP. So you might be spending three to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you do that.
Potentially, in a crazy world, maybe even like six, right? To get Vox Scream off three times, like if you need it. So I think you're going to be spending real big on Vox Scream, which is just worth it, right? It's so good. And then, did you see
CP well spent?
Yeah, I was going to say, as it's written, is it going to be, if you get three Prescience tokens, can you get three CP?
I don't think limited. So.
It's an action, so you can't do it more than once.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah. That's more sense.
You should know this, Russ. I think you do have a Kill Team podcast, don't you? You should probably know this.
It's called Kill Team Casuals. So
he's a very busy man. Yeah. He's got a lot going on. There's all sorts of things. London's a big town, okay? There's lots of activities.
London's a real big place. It's a big country. It's a big place. I hear London's a very big country.
Yeah. It's its own country, and it is big. That's right.
Here.
Yeah.
The operative I don't know, Russ, you probably haven't heard about it, but the Screecher, it's the lightning claws guy.
Yeah.
Super good, dude. Like whenever you're engagement with him, he makes you injured. I believe you count as injured. At least for the purposes of fighting, I'm not totally sure. But then also if you have less than your starting wounds, he goes to lethal 4+. And so it's basically the 5. So it's five attacks on 3s, 4-5,
relentless.
lethal 5, something like that. Yeah, with relentless.
And relentless.
Like full rerolls. And think about it. You're going to charge in doing mortal wounds, right? Yeah. So you're going to hit somebody for mortal wounds.
Yeah.
Now you're on lethal 4 with relentless. Like, dude, what? Like, this guy's going to blend people up, and you count as wounded, so you'll be hitting on 4s or 5s, and you'll give him the skin equipment, so you can't reroll any dice. So it's like, whatever this guy goes into, he's just going to eat him for lunch.
Yeah.
Could he take the Lumbergast?
Ooh, in one, wow.
He could put up a fight. What do you think, Josh?
Straight off his arm.
Yeah.
Who's coming out of that? He might be able to, because the Lumbergast is only 4 attacks. So
he's hitting on 4s as well, isn't he?
The Lumbergast. Yeah, it's on 4s, 5s against this guy.
Yeah, so
you can guarantee 1, but even though it's brutal, this guy's got lethal 4. So unless he feels pains all that spike charge mortal wounds, then he's going to get parried out probably, and then just
he might not die
because he has so many wounds and revolting resilient, but he's gonna get hurt.
Ooh. Yeah, that's true.
I must admit, the one thing looking back, and Russ, you were talking about the Warhammer Plus bat rep or Warhammer TV, I watched that again. It is funny though, the one thing I don't like about the Mandrakes, it is going to be so hard to play against them and know who is who.
Yeah,
I reckon it's going to be hard to play with them and know who and who.
Yeah.
But the only way to tell who is the specialist
so
is top
bad,
knots.
Isn't it?
Magic.
I was going to say, he's got top knot. Has he got a bone through the top knot?
Yeah.
Is he holding 2 swords? Is he holding 1 sword, but he's pointing, these are your specialists?
Yeah.
It does see, I mean, it's not as bad as Blades of Cain.
True.
Like, Blades of Cain was quite blatantly a team not designed for kill team. And I kind of feel like Mandrakes is probably not a team designed for kill team, but they've tried harder to give us specialists, I feel.
Yeah,
like they have tried arguably harder.
Blades of Cain in top knots as well.
You've
got none.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want, they've got yellow Mandy blasters. That's a specialist. But yeah, it does feel like it's going to be hard. I went to a tournament once and there was someone running the Felgor Ravagers as Khorne Berserkers. But they all just looked like Khorne Berserkers, and it was just like, oh no, who's this one? It's just like they've all got pistols and chainsaws. It's like, that's going to be rough to remember who's everyone. But yeah, it feels like that's the kind of team you're like, okay, and this. But at least they're all kind of 8 wounds. You kind of know what they've all got the same. I assume they've all got some. Obviously, you've got that dude with the cape who can create the portal and stuff like that. So there's differences, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. It'd be a hard one. Yeah, as you say, it'll be hard to play against them.
Yeah, especially if you're not if you don't have the experience and especially in that a bit more competitive setting, like that's a rough thing to do, not know who's who and having to, because you're on that time limit as well, like I guess things get sped up a little bit too. Yeah, it could lead to some feels bads, if you will.
Holy smokes. We've just had something in the chat, which I need to verify with you folks. So please. I'm going to ask the question. Do you guys watch Valorak? Apparently there was a rumor today of a Rattlings kill team.
What?
That would be immensely fun. I'm guessing Rattling snipers is going to be the core because they don't have any other units. I haven't heard this. This is just Karakhan.
I haven't heard
154
this either.
I would love a Rattlings team. That would be insane. I remember Rouse and Rain from the last edition. Loved them.
Oh man. Yeah.
They're due to make a comeback.
Rattlings are like halflings. Yeah, like little halflings. They're generally little snipers. Rattling snipers for the guard.
They're like 40k hobbits.
Yeah, basically 40k hobbits. Yeah.
And they were like an Imperial Guard unit choice, and they literally, were just little hobbits with their bellies out. But they said, they're in Blackstone Fortress as well. Like that was
They had Rouse,
that wasn't it? That there was the two guys.
Rouse and Rain.
Yeah, that's it.
That would be so weird. Oh my gosh, dude! Like, now Valrak has been right on the past couple boxes. So
that's
like,
why I had to ask if you guys had seen. I was like, it's a guy with a good track record, saying one of the best teams. I guess they would imagine if they're like, they can only dash, they can't move because they're so small. Just be like, I can't imagine that team. Well, or maybe they're not as like. I don't want to call the Votan dumpy, but they're not quite as dumpy. Maybe so they can move. Three circle?
Yeah, but, that would be so strange.
Because their thing was that they were always meant to move like very well. Like they were meant to be like, because they were so small.
Yeah.
They were swift of foot, like they were sneaky. So it'd be interesting to see if they did actually have any movement issues or anything like that.
That'd be a tough team if they were all silent, kind of hidden horror style. Like because they traditionally had that hard to hit rule. Imagine if they were all silent, could shoot from conceal. That would just be like almost game over.
Yeah.
Be like
built-in camo
gates. Just charge. Get shot turn one, get shot turn two, and then hopefully charge and kill them all turn three, four. Fingers crossed, though.
Rattlings would be totally wild. I hope it's not true. I hope it's not true. A team of little hobbits. People are
saying jetpack rattlings. He was like... Give them all jetpacks.
Okay, now I'm in. Yeah. Now I'm in. If we have a bunch of little frumpy hobbits with jetpacks, now I'm in. I'm in on that idea.
I'd be good with that.
Now, guys, we're nearly to the end of the show today, but we've got a guest, and with our guests, we always like to throw them into the deep end of the show. And Russ, you've got something a little bit special lined up. It's been a few weeks, Russ.
It's been a few weeks, so I've had it ready before we knew. Jesse was coming on, and I feel bad that he's now on, and we have a Legions of Russ.
It's like, a trial by fire, Joshua.
This is a trial by fire because this is going to be just pure madness for you. But if you're game, we can play some Legions of Russ and see how you fare.
All right, let's do it.
Say the word, Reese.
Play it up inside itself, sir.
Wait, what?
They say that it's fine. We're playing the intro music. We've got like an intro song.
It was so funny because the video was so delayed. It basically didn't work. And it was just this black screen of panic on and everyone going, what happened?
Yeah. what should happen in that moment, whatever Russ says, it's a deep cut to an early pod, play it up inside itself. A title screen should come up. And the Legions of Rust logo with a theme song should play. If it did, we don't know. We don't know.
We never know.
It did poorly.
Reese is in charge.
And that's where we've gone wrong.
Beautiful.
Russ, take us through the rules. Let's do it.
We've got Jimbo Jack assuring us that we should not go easy on him, guys. So just so you know.
We're going to break his brain. It's got to be your dad. Jimbo Jack's got to be your dad.
This is revenge.
Yeah. He's salty because of... I forgot to mention there was this one specific move in our game that really stood out. We were playing Secure, and he intended to use his Icon Bearer, the Death Knell. He was playing Felwar to go and take a point that I had secured with the Glitchling. So what I did, the Death Knell was on Conceal because there's no reason to have him on Engage if he's doing that. So I took a little bug, like an Ice Finger Swarm, and I flew it to the opposite end of the point, wide in the open. And then, since he was concealed, he could not go on the point because he'd go into engagement range.
Oh, nice. Barrier of denial. Yeah. I like it. I hate Stingwings mainly just because of the stun on their like gamble weapons, but that would make me hate them even more.
Yeah.
There you go.
But hey, you got to put your dad in his place. You know what I mean? In my mind, that's the moment where you became a man. You know, Jeshua the kid became Jeshua the man on that table in round four.
Is that the new nickname, Jeshua the man?
That's how Kelly. Jeshua the man.
Jeshua the man.
Doesn't roll off the tongue quite
not
as well.
Quite
that's
not,
not quite as good, but okay. All right, Legions of Russ. Reese, give us the rules. slide. So welcome to Legions of Rust. Is that time again where we test the bonds of madness as a community we share. In this game show of sorts, I will read a clue, riddle, slash cryptic mind puzzle, dredged forth, frothing and naked from the septic tank that is my brain for you, our contestants, to guess on. It could be a guard regiment, a legion of space marines, but regardless, it's likely to be obscure, but who knows, it could be your favorite. In this game, contestants, if you can hear me, and this means you shout your name as your buzzer and hurl guesses out. The victory conditions, we have a partial guess. If you can partially guess the correct answer, you gain one victory point. If you do this before any clues are given, you will get two victory points for your partial guess, and then the completion guess. If you make the completion guess, then you score one victory point, and as a bonus, if you're able to score the partial and completion guess at the same time without any clues, you score an additional victory point for the completion tack-up. And if that made sense to you, then your names are probably not Ben, Reese, or Jesh. So let's get over to the guys and see how they are feeling about today's game. Ben, how are you feeling, buddy? It's been a while.
I'm always feeling rusty for Legions of Rust because it's always different. It's always crazy, but I'm happy to be playing it. And wow. I'm here. I'm ready. My body is ready.
No more. Reese, how are you feeling?
Yeah, look, it's been a while, and the madness I feel has subsided. I feel like I've detoxed from the madness that is Legions
of danger.
Rust. But now I've got to dive back in. I've got to relapse, baby, and I'm ready. I'm ready to relapse.
That's what it is. As our guest, Jeshua, with no idea of what's about to happen, how are you feeling?
I am doubting my kill team knowledge, but I'm as ready as I will be.
Oh no!
Hey, you know what's great?
Is he not? There's no kill team knowledge required.
Kill team knowledge.
No kill team knowledge.
Just think Warhammer lore. Like, so think. Just yes. Always think teams and like you know.
Oh, that's
like,
even worse. I don't know anything about the lore.
Well, in that case, have you an excellent time watching Ben and I struggle as well.
I was going to say sometimes it doesn't even matter about the lore. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. I think. Yeah.
How As hard first would you say these ones probably, are, Russ? How hard?
Say these ones were written for last week, which I was absent for, so they weren't guest approved. So these ones might be a little bit mad. So apologies.
Let's do it.
Hopefully
Jump
the chat,
in.
maybe the chat and Jesh can team up on this.
That would be fair.
So basically it's going to be Jesh and the chat versus Ben and Reese. Don't worry, Jesh, the chat always get them.
Yeah, that always wins.
So you're in good hands. Okay.
Far away.
I was going to say, Ali's saying, are we pretending that Russ's clues have anything to do with Warhammer lore? That's right. I can tell you now, none of them have anything to do with Warhammer lore. And one, in fact, is much more to do with cats. So we'll start. I'm going to give you a clue. I'm going to say it's Imperial. So think Imperial. So it could be Guard Regiments, Space Marines, that kind of stuff. All right. We're looking for a chapter, a legion, an obscure one, a Guard Regiment, obscure stuff. So we'll start. We've got two. We'll see how we go. Chat, ready thine selves.
We're ready, Russ. Give it to us, please.
Put us out of our misery.
The cat's happy about getting half of the company Steve Jobs built. We should petition the Pope to get him a sainthood, or bare minimum, a street. Actually, he was a bit of a butt, although he never took MDMA. So, this is a weird one already. I realize I probably shouldn't have done this one, but it's out there now. How's everyone doing?
I'm going to pretend I know what that meant.
Don't worry. No one does, mate. No.
Everyone's doing the same. All right. Everyone's doing the same.
So let's break it down.
You know what?
Oh, no, don't.
Ali's not got some bad ones.
Oh, okay.
It's not. Okay. You've not got it there, but...
I have a partial guess.
Do it easy.
Already? I've only read it once. Go for it.
Purple?
Yes.
Yeah,
boy! First word is purple.
Ben gets two victory points for...
I don't think you know this, by the way, but like purple is the whole kill team color. They roll up to kill team events. That's what the vest is for.
Yeah, that's
like, I knew it. I obviously knew it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so purple, cat's happy. That one.
So we'll describe it for Jesse. So the cat's happy purr about getting half of the company Steve Jobs built, which is Apple, but instead of APP, it's the PLE, so it's the back half of Apple. So purple, And that is it. That's the first part of it. But the second part is still up for grabs, right, which is we should petition the Pope to get him a sainthood or bare minimum a street. Actually, he was a bit of a butt, although he never took MDMA. Oh, Ali's already got it. I don't know what time Ali got it. You know what? I wasn't checking the chat.
Well, I definitely got purple, so that's definitely for me. I got those two
and
points.
As I'm on Ben's team today, I second that notion.
You're on your own, Reese. It's you versus Jesh in the chat. So
then Ben gets nothing. I'm actually not sure he got purple, if I'm being honest.
Okay. So Ali's being very generous, and he's saying it was after Ben got purple. So chat gets one victory point. Ben's currently got two, and you guys can try and finish it off now.
Okay, give us the back
Reese,
half.
Is it purple stars?
It is purple stars. There you go. So we should petition the Pope to get him a sainthood, which is ST, or a bare minimum a street, ST. And he was a bit of a butt, so it's arse, but he never took MDMA, which is E. So you take off the E, and it does become purple stars. Correct. And that is how it's played. So the Purple Stars are a loyalist, second founding Space Marine chapter of unknown origin. Almost nothing is known about this chapter in Imperial records, but they are rumored to have close ties with Admech and the Inquisition. And that is the Purple Stars. That's all there is about them.
Beautiful.
A very obscure chapter. There you go. So
beautiful.
That was technically, you guys won. Well, Ben won, technically.
I won.
Two victory points.
Yeah,
two victory points to one victory point.
Yeah, I know nothing about that. I didn't know what I was hearing at all.
Yeah, no, that's very
the secret.
That's about right.
The secret is, Jesh, that we don't know what we're hearing either.
No.
Oh, well, look, unfortunately, we're out of time today. So, Russ, save number two.
We'll save the second.
We'll save it for next week. Well done to the chat. So wait, the chat got the full guess with because Ali got it. And
yeah,
Ben
so they get one victory point, but Ben got the two victory points.
And although, I sniped the partial.
Although I beat Ben, I get nothing. I see how this is. I see how it works. That's fine. Yeah. Not even mad. No, a huge thank you, as always, to the chat family. We love having you guys in there. You bring a whole bunch to the show, and great to see some new voices and names in there today joining into the shenanigans. So thank you so much. As always, Ben, thank you from Battle Brothers Tabletop for joining us on your own show.
That is me. Thank you for having me on my own show. Also, as we continue this just spirit, this attitude of gratitude that we have here on the podcast, let me thank Russ Gillard for the straight face. Russ from GFN Gaming for appearing on his own podcast. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the appreciation that you've shown me. I'd like to show my appreciation to Reese. Thanks very much for showing up to your podcast, Reese. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Appreciate you, buddy.
I'm happy to be here. Jeshua, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for being a legend. Thank you for playing Legions of Russ. That's chaos for anyone. Yeah, you got deep-ended on that one.
But thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Congratulations on the victory. If you're
ticket.
At Worlds... Yeah, I was going to say you'll go and see you'll be able to see Jeshua in the flesh at Wills, presumably, which would be fantastic.
Pretty sweet. You got anything to plug while you're on here? Oh, you have anything to plug? Any? Do you talk about Kill Team anywhere or like social media stuff? Anything to plug?
I'll plug my own or our own Kill Team YouTube channel. We're going to start posting more and more.
Nice.
Oh, sweet. That
Tell
rules. Is it, what is it? What is this called? Kill Team?
Yeah, it's just called Kill Team.
Okay. Yeah, everybody go subscribe to that. Check out the Kellys. A good bunch. Shout out to your dad in the comments
for joining
just
us.
Scrolling you in the comments. Yeah.
The call outs were.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's it. Until next week, we'll be back. More Legions of Rust be coming back. We'll hopefully have even more shenanigans to talk about for Kill Team. Until then. See you guys later.
See you guys later.